As mentioned, we've been having a few technical difficulties this morning. Primarily, we arrived here at church this morning. Nothing had changed from what we know last week, but our projector didn't work at all. That's usually up by the balcony there. But I was so glad to come and have a voice that I was surprised to find another problem. And then I thought, well, you know, the devil likes to get in the details, likes to be a nuisance, and likes to discourage and deceive. But God always makes a way. So thanks to some of our students, and thanks to long ago, I think Aaron Vandersilt building this little box with a projector on it. It was available, and we have some video for you this morning, or at least some PowerPoint for you this morning. So we're diving in this morning to step number one of our Freedom in Christ series. Remember, the steps really aren't steps that necessarily build on one another, but there are seven different areas in the life of a Christian where it's been discovered deceptions are commonly believed. That is, the evil one who went to Adam and Eve in the garden and said, didn't the Lord say, and he took God's word and just twisted them a little bit? He's good at deceiving, and in the lives of Christian, in these seven areas or these seven steps, there are areas where we're deceived. And so today we're praying for light. Light to shine on darkness, for God's truth to overcome, and for us to have a chance to see God's truth and its ability to set us free. And so this morning I'm inviting you to open your hearts for God's light to shine in, to maybe let down your guard a little bit and let the Holy Spirit bring truth to you, to relax and say, God, you have something good for me. I'm opening my heart, my hands, my life to receive it, because I don't want to hang on to this stuff that's weighing me down. And so this morning, we're going to be doing that together as we look at God's word, as we walk through a portion of the first step. And I want to remind you that we've set up an opportunity for you that I think after today, you'll find out how necessary it is. The opportunity is that you can sign up right in the hallway here to have an hour in a special prayer room that's going to be set up in the prayer room of the Family Life Center. We're calling it the Freedom Prayer Room, where you can process more slowly and more deeply the kinds of things that we're going to talk about today, because we can only go through them somewhat rapidly because of the amount of material we want to cover. So I want to encourage you to take advantage of that, or in your quiet time, devotion time, that you find some time this week to sit with God and say, God, what do you want me to see? What is it you want me to notice? What are you revealing to me that I should recognize, so that if I am impinged upon in any way by the evil one, or being held back or being held down, that I can find the freedom that you want for me? So whether you come to the prayer room, we're setting that up for, you know, just for a special event for you and people organizing that, or if you're doing that on your own, take some time this week to let the truths we talk about this morning sink their way deeply into your heart, because we'll only be able to walk through them rather quickly this morning. But we're thinking about step one, real overcomes counterfeit. And in terms of God's word this morning, I made a last-minute adjustment to our thoughts together. And I'd like you to turn in the back of your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 7, and like to begin with you in this message time with the end, and then go back to the beginning. It's like one of those movies where, you know, you see the guy hanging from a cliff, and he's just about ready to let go, and his hand's slipping, and you think he's going to fall, and then it cuts back, and it says, 3 months earlier. You know, and then you watch the whole movie and find out how he got there, right? Well, that's kind of what we're doing here in Revelation chapter 7. We're at the end of the Bible, right? A picture of future glory. And in Revelation chapter 7, we're going to be thinking about the tribe of Dan, of God's people in the land of Israel, way back in Judges chapter 16 and 17. But we're going to look at the end first and then move backwards. So hear these words of God. It's Revelation chapter 7. If you're using a Bible near your seats, it's found on page 1129. And I'd like to read for you just these few verses here in the beginning. It says, after this I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on any tree. Then I saw another angel coming up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of God. Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. Now remember, we're going to be looking back to Judges chapter 17 and 18 about the tribe of Dan. Here, when the picture is given of those who are sealed, it's a symbolic number of all the folks who end up in glory in heaven. You know, 12 tribes, 12,000 from each, a complete number. So generally, in our tradition, we don't think about the 144,000 as a literal 144,000. If a Jehovah's Witness comes to your door, they'll want to talk to you about that literal number. But we see this book as very symbolic in the way it's written. And so we say, well, here's a symbol of all the people of God. 12,000 from 12 tribes equals 144,000. And we want to think today about the tribe of Dan. So look down the list and look for the tribe of Dan and see how many people are there from the tribe of Dan. Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin. No Dan. All right, ready to turn back? Here we go. 3 months earlier, you know. The story of Dan. The story of Dan is a story of the people of God giving their hearts over to an idol. The people of God making compromises along the way, little by little, that led them to places where they never imagined they would be. The people of God compromising their allegiance, their devotion, their loyalty to the one true God, and mixing and mingling it with a devotion and loyalty to some other gods. And this morning, our goal is that we have an opportunity with God's light shining into our hearts to see, are there places in our lives where we have done a similar thing? We've mixed and mingled, we've compromised, we've been exposed to willingly or unwillingly, knowingly or unknowingly, to things that affect our ability to be completely devoted and 100% loyal to the one true triune God. What we're thinking about this morning really is keeping the first commandment. And what is it in our lives that could be inhibiting us, stopping us, getting in the way of our keeping the first commandment, which is, have no other gods before me. And this is something God's people have considered vitally important and have wrestled with throughout the ages. Let me just give you this snapshot back in history of Reformed churches. If you go back to the Heidelberg Catechism, the question and answer about the first commandment, it asks this, what does the Lord require in the first commandment? It's on this next slide, if we can advance one. Is there somebody still running that PowerPoint? There we go. Awesome. So we got PowerPoint going here, and we have it going upstairs. So what I see is actually coming from a different source than what you're seeing. So we're making it work here. But if you open up the handout as well, you can see the full version of that question and answer from the Heidelberg Catechism. It says, what does God require in the first commandment, which says, have no other gods before me? So this is hundreds of years ago, 16th century, Christians saying that in the first commandment, what does God require? That I, not wanting to endanger my salvation, avoid and shun all idolatry, magic, superstitious rites, and prayer to saints or to other creatures. That I sincerely acknowledge the only true God, trust him alone, look to him for every good thing humbly and patiently, love him, fear him, and honor him with all my heart. In short, that I give up anything rather than go against his will in any way. The tribe of Dan weren't willing to give up in order to follow God with all their heart. They chose to do the easy thing rather than the hard thing. And this morning, I want to challenge you to do the hard thing when it comes to following God, that you would follow him above all else for any reason. If you look in your Bible to Judges chapter 1, you'd find this verse, that the Amorites confined the Danites to the hill country, not allowing them to come down into the plain. Now here's the back story. God's people were in Egypt and they were slaves. Maybe you remember Moses and the Exodus. They came out of Egypt. They wandered in the wilderness. They had some problems and they had some consequences. They ended up wandering there for a really long time. But finally the day came. Finally the day came when they would enter into the God's promised land for them. The place geographically, which is where the land of Israel is today. They would cross the River Jordan, they'd enter into the promised land, and there they'd be. And God's people were made up of 12 different tribes or groups of people. And they corresponded to the the sons of Jacob. And so all those names that we saw listed in the book of Revelation, those were the names of groups of people. And so you had the Danites, the Benjaminites, the Reubenites, you know, the Naphtalites. You had them all. And they all go in, and God said, this is the land for your group. 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 The Danites were the people who were given a portion of land kind of in the middle of the country of Israel today. Well, when they got there, there were other people there. There were the Amorites and the Philistines. And they looked at them and they said, you know what? Samson, who was really good at getting rid of Philistines, he just died. And this looks like too hard of a thing to go into this land, but there does seem to be a door open to go to the north. And I'm sure as they talked, they must have had those kinds of things. It looks like God's closing this door, even though he said, go here, and never gave them a different message. They said, it looks like maybe God's opening a door to the north. And so they went north, and they found this land where there's a river. And Hannah, my daughter, and I, we were able to go to the place where they settled. They went to the north, and in the north there was water. There was a river, one of the three tributaries that feeds into the Jordan River. All those pictures of Israel that you see about rocks and desert and wastelands, Dan is not that kind of place where the people of God eventually settled. They settled in a place where there was a river, and where there's water, there's life. Take a look at this next slide. We were there in a very rainy season. Let's go one more. Tell Dan is just the place where that was. The water was gushing. You know, our guide said, we've never been here in all the years where the water's coming this fast in this place. But that's the place where they grow avocados and mangoes and bananas and grapefruit. You say, in Israel, isn't that like a desert place? Not the whole country. So the people of Dan, the Danites, said, this place looks good. And they went where God said they shouldn't go. Well, he didn't say they shouldn't go there. He just said, this is your place. And they said, we think we got a better idea, God. We think the easier path is the better path. Well, if you've lived any length of time, you probably have come to the place where you realize that easier doesn't always mean better. Easier is not always better. Because sometimes it's easier to give up rather than to grow. Sometimes it's easier to run away from something than to try to resolve it. It's easier to numb your pain in life with one thing or another rather than navigate through your emotions. It's easier to just say, I'm going to start over, rather than to start being part of a solution. There's lots of situations in life where it's easier to do one thing than another, but easier isn't always better. And for these people of God, the Danites, they saw it was easier to go north, almost all the way to the border of Israel near Lebanon and Syria, than to go to the place that God told them to go. You think, that's not such a big deal, is it? Just a different piece of land? But then one easier decision led to another and to another. And if you go back and you read Judges 17 and 18, you'll find out there was a man named Micah. He was a Levite, and he was a priest. And the people of that area said, we want you to come and be the priest for us. And somehow or another, it doesn't really explain, he made an idol and covered it with silver. And that became part of their worship. Well, then the people of Dan came into that area, and they said, we're going to take over this spot. And Micah was the priest for this group. And they gave Micah a choice. They said, you can either die or you can be our priest. And Micah thought to himself for a minute and he said, I think I'll be your priest. And so he came with his idol covered in silver, and it became part of the worship life of the Danites who had gone north instead of stayed in the middle. Well, time passed, and over time, the place where Hannah and I visited, which is now uncovered, and I think we go to the next slide, they found all these stones that are built up. They found the best example in the land of Israel of a city gate area. They found places of worship, you know, and people meticulously, you know, dust off the rocks layer by layer, and they find these things. And they found out this is the place where the Danites were, and in the history of their life there, they came to the place where Jeroboam, one of the leaders of God's people, set up this altar, which still just blows my mind that anyone would ever do this. They set up in Dan, and they set up in Bethel. So they set up in the northernmost part of the land and the southernmost part of the land, altars with golden calves. If you know your Bible, do you remember what happened last time people set up things with golden calves? Not good. Not good. How could anyone ever do that if they were from the people of God? Somewhere along the lines, someone stopped telling the story. They stopped telling the story of what God had done and how he saved them and how the people stumbled in the desert. But in this place, in Dan, an altar is set up and there's a golden calf there. Standing stones were set up by it, something that God strictly prohibited. And so one choice to do the easy thing instead of the hard thing led to another and to another and to another. They would have had to fight the Amorites. They would have had to drive out the Philistines without Samson. But instead they said, this looks like a better way. And for the people of Dan, it didn't turn out to be a better way. And when you and I read from the book of Revelation, we say, where's the tribe of Dan? It makes you wonder. I hope there's some Danites in heaven. I hope God's grace found a way to pull them in. But when you read Revelation chapter 7, you have to think, what's up? Everybody else is listed except them. One choice led to another and to another. And as we think about step one this morning in detail, we're going to see that sometimes a little thing here, a little thing there, another thing there, can put us in a place where when we seek to worship and love God with all our heart, soul, and strength, we can't. We're inhibited, we're held back, we're held down, we're oppressed, we're distracted. We just can't do it wholeheartedly. And so as we walk through step one this morning, we're going to give you a chance to say, God, are there places in my life, experiences in my life, that you want to set me free from so that I can worship you and you alone? And when you give me the first commandment in your word that says no other gods before me, I can do that 100%. Not 75, not 85, not even 95, but 100%. And so this morning, our prayer has been for you that God would set you free from some things that might be holding you back from loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and mind. To bring you from way back when, you know, in the book of Judges, even way back when, from the book, when the book of Revelation was written, to today, Brittany Blum has agreed to share with you how God set her free through processing this first step of the steps to freedom, step number one. So thank you, Brittany, for being willing to share your heart with us this morning. We know you're here in a different role. Usually you're giving us a little pep talk about youth ministry or something like that. Open your heart to what God has to say through Brittany today in a very different capacity than what she's usually standing up here doing.
Good morning, everyone. Will you please just start with prayer with me? I'd like to pray together. Heavenly Father God, I thank you so much for the story that you've placed in my heart. And I just know, God, that this is not my story. This is your story. So I just pray this morning, Lord, that you will eliminate any fears and anxieties that I might have so that your story can be just be known to the people sitting here. Lord, I pray for those who might be struggling with this first step, that counterfeit versus real, that if that is something that someone's struggling here today, God, with, that you can show them your amazing freedom and love and grace. And I thank you, Lord, for giving me the opportunity to do this, Lord. And I just pray that whatever comes out of my mouth is truth. In your name we pray, amen. For those of you who don't know me very well, I grew up moving a lot. I moved about every 2 years, and my dad was in manufacturing, so he was transferred a lot and still actually moves quite a bit. So I feel like I've spent most of my life getting to know new people, make new friends, and my dad was always like, well, it builds character, which it does. I feel like, to some extent, there's really good things that came out of that. I was able to, you know, I'm pretty easily, I'm easy to talk to, I guess. I can approach people pretty easily, I'm kind of crazy and outgoing. For those of you who don't know me very well, one of my issues that I've struggled with for many, many years is my need to control things, and I struggle with anxiety. And when I started at this church, I had approached Pastor Bob in one of our weekly meetings and just said, you know, I'm really, really struggling with some nightmares that I'm having. And I had been having them ever since I started this position. And I know being in ministry, I've been told a lot, you know, you have an enormous target on you for Satan's schemes and his arrows. And I had never really been exposed to much of that language growing up. My mom and dad were very, very good at putting on a good face. They still are. We went to church, but again, if you're moving every 2 years, you don't have a strong foundation in a church. So that was a huge struggle for me. And I think that over the years, I learned to cope by controlling things. And when I was young, probably around 11 years old, that's like the specific number that it sticks out in my head and has for a long time. Something happened, and I have struggled with an eating disorder since I was 11. My mom was always the one she was always on diets. We were always, you know, told to, you know, that we needed a diet. And it wasn't like healthy food diet. It was like Atkins and like, you know, making sure that you count all your calories. And I was 11. So like I grew up doing that all the time. And I had an uncle even that said one time that just called me like chunky or like something like that in passing, because when I was young, I was an adolescent, I was going through that awkward, you know, stage. And so I started kind of getting a profile of myself. And that's when the devil introduced his name as Ed to me. And I call him Ed because this past year, I started some really awesome Christian counseling with a lady at Hillcrest. And it was just for spiritual maintenance. And she just said, you know what, just start, he has a name, it's Ed, and you know what, that is Satan, and he does not have a place in your life. And it allowed me to start thinking, like, wow, I am totally worshiping this Ed guy, like, this is totally my idol. And so, like, a few years ago, when I realized I was having these nightmares, I was like, I need to do something about this, there's something wrong, like, I'm struggling with my eating stuff, no one knows about it, it's in the dark, Taylor kind of knows about it, but it's not pinpointed yet, and I'm having night terrors every single night, severe anxiety. And so my friend Joni, as all of you know, she was like, hey, B, like, have you ever thought of like Freedom in Christ Ministries? I have a girl, you know, a good friend who's done it, and I've heard really great things about it. It might be just worth calling up. So I looked into it a little bit. It took me like way too long to fill out my application. And obviously, Freedom in Christ is a great place, but it's definitely not the only way to be set free. It was just a great way for me to go and be encouraged because I didn't know where to start. And so when I showed up and had my first appointment, I actually spent the entire first day, one appointment, 5.5 hours on the first one, the counterfeit versus real, because when I looked back at my life and I looked back at like my growing up, I realized that there were so many counterfeit things in my life, and there were so many idols in my life, and each one of them were feeding into like this lie that I had inside of me that said I needed to be skinny, I needed to be beautiful, I needed to make sure that I put on a good face all the time, and I had to be in control. And so that first whole day that we spent in that, I realized that, you know, I never even thought about this kind of stuff, but I realized that like one of my grandmas, she used to call me up all the time and be like, Brittany, I'm sending my spirit guide, you know, to be with you and to watch over you. And I was always like, thanks, grandma, I don't really know what that means. But and she would send me like dream catchers. I had dream catchers in my room like all the time, because I'm part Native American, so my grandma is very, very involved in her tribe in Florida. And her name's White Dove, like she's all about like the tribal stuff. And she used to send me this stuff all the time. I'd have it hanging in my room, all that kind of stuff. And then the whole hearing voices in my head, like that totally was this eating disorder I had. Like it was a voice in my head telling me that I was all of these things that totally went against what God told me. And so when I went to this freedom appointment, they walked me through like all of these things. I actually had to recognize that there were things in my life that had a stronghold on me, and even like scary movies. My dad and I would be like all over scary movies every year, and every year at Halloween. And I used to watch a ton of slasher films. They never bothered me, nothing like that. And she made me write out every single slasher film I ever saw, everything that I like checked like every single one of those, like every single counterfeit thing in there I had been exposed to somehow, like all through my growing up. I couldn't even believe it, because I was like, oh, I don't even think about that stuff. It's not that big of a deal. But then the lady was like, but there's no gray with God. You're either for God or you're against God. Like, there's no middle ground. Like, if you have a feeling that it's not good stuff, it's not good stuff. And so we went through that, and I did the prayer, and I said, okay, like, I need to start making some changes. Like, I'm not going to let Ed consume me for the rest of my life. I'm not going to have these nightmares anymore. And from that day on, I did not have a single nightmare since. I'm, like, totally set free from night terrors. Yay, God. And then I started this journey to recovery, which was really long, and it's been really hard. But I don't have to say yes to Ed anymore. I'm learning that I get to disagree with Ed, and then I get to disobey Ed. And I have been, in the last 6 months, totally free from Ed, which is, like, awesome. So all the bad stuff, whatever. I'm not going to give the devil any more, you know, good stuff to talk about. I need to talk about what God's done. It's awesome. He totally taught me how to replace the tapes in my head. And all my kids are probably like, oh, B, we've heard this so many times. This is so good. Like, I had never been told a tangible thing, like, way to actually make change in my life. I thought, okay, like, if I just really try to be good today, blah, blah, blah. No, this was like, my counselor was like, Brittany, the tapes in your head that are playing, Ed is on those tapes, and he's telling you every single day, you need to continue to be on a diet. You need to continue to feel worthless. You need to continue. If you don't do this, you're not going to add up. All of these horrible lies. And she's like, you need to picture yourself taking out the tape, or the CD, taking out the tape and replacing that tape with the truths that God has for you. And I was like, what? Of course, that makes total sense. Like, that makes total sense. So every single day, like, it is not easy. It's not easy. It's not a cakewalk. But every single day, God promises me that his grace is sufficient. And today, I'm free. And I'm standing from victory saying, I'm free because today I replaced the tapes in my head. And I said, you know what? No, like, you're not going to win. I know that I'm a child of God. And I know that God promises to take care of me and protect me, as he says in his Psalm 91, which I'm going to read, because every single night we try to read this out loud together, because it's a beautiful prayer of protection. I don't know if any of you guys have ever read it before, but I'm just going to read it because it is a really powerful prayer. Let's see. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but you will not, it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling place, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent, because he loves you, says the Lord. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Yay, God, for that. So that is something that I do every single day to remind myself that God has promised to protect me, and that the devil doesn't have a place in my dreams anymore. And then the other thing, on your pamphlet and your bulletin, affirmation 6 is one of my, like, lifelines. I just, like, absolutely love it. If you have ever struggled with self-esteem or eating disorder, anything like that, this is the most powerful truth ever. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. This is so powerful for me, because when I even get a small lie in my head from Ed telling me, Brittany, today you don't need to eat, or you need to exercise and make sure you got to, you know, you got to make up for what you just had last night, I don't have to listen to him. And I just remember this truth, because I was given a body to serve God with, and I have to put things in it that fuel it so that I can do his work. And I love that that is a promise from God, that he bought me with a price and that I am valuable. So those are just some things, some truths for my life. And if you are struggling with this, and there's stuff like this in your life, like, God can totally free you from it. He can totally free you from it. And I'm just, I'm a walking testimony of that. So thank you.
Thank you, Brittany. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Those are the words we'll continue to remember from Galatians 5, chapter 1. I want to move you to the next step, which is not hearing about Brittany, but looking at your heart. Hopefully her words help you see the value of doing that, taking a long, hard look with the Holy Spirit's help for God's light shining into your heart and saying, God, is there anything here that needs to leave? Anything here that I need to get rid of? Anything here that's coming between you and me and our relationship together? And so this is that hard look. We're going to do it rather quickly, and you're going to find out, I really need more time to do this. And that's why the prayer room's set up Tuesday through Thursday, I think from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. You can do it on your own. You don't have to come to the prayer room to do it. But for me, setting a time and a place keeps me committed, and that really helps. The environment usually helps. So I encourage you to take a chance with that and to participate in that. We're going to be looking at a spiritual inventory that's in the inside of your handout this morning. And you could look at that and maybe find some help, but you're going to find the most help if you are in Christ and a follower of Jesus and a child of God. And so each week on our journey together through the steps to freedom, we're going to be taking just a moment to pray the prayer of salvation. And for you, this might be the first time you say, God, we've talked a lot, I know a lot about you, but I've never asked you to be the Savior and Lord of my life, and this might be the first time you do that. For the rest of you, there's going to be a chance to recommit, and so either you're making a first-time commitment or you're recommitting, but this is a way that together we say whatever good comes from walking through the steps of freedom, we know it comes from God. And we know that the power that is there is his. And so I'd like you to pray that prayer with me. And we decided we're going to do this every week. We're not going to emotionally try to bring you to a heightened point where you say, I pray this prayer, because we think that work is God's work. He's bringing you to a place where you say, God, help me, save me, forgive me, cleanse me, renew me. I can't do that for you, and nobody else can either. But God can, and he might have brought you to that point today, or it might be next week. That calling part of God's interaction with people in the world is usually a process. So we want to make sure you're right at the process, because this is the most important decision of your life. I mean, you never would want to make the most important decision of your life because you were pressured into it, would you? You'd want to make it because you were confident about it. You were sure about it. You were ready for it. And so today, maybe you're going to pray that prayer for the very first time, but maybe you're going to wait. That's okay. But if you know Christ, this is a prayer that you can pray to be recommitted to him. And so on the front side of this handout that you have in your bulletin, I invite you to pray this prayer with me aloud. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I acknowledge that I have sinned and that I cannot save myself. I come to you asking for the forgiveness of my sins. I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that Jesus is your Son. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I ask you right now to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I pray that you will lead me into a knowledge of the truth so that I can experience my freedom in Christ and be transformed by the renewing of my mind. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, welcome to God's family. And you can be assured of the truth that's below there, that from this day forward, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. But over time, your mind is going to have to be renewed by the transforming power of God. You have to begin to think in different ways, as Brittany was describing. And God is the one who's able to renew our minds, to give us truth. And when our minds are renewed, we believe differently. And when we believe differently, we act differently. Because we always act based on what we believe. And God wants you to believe in Him and in Him alone. And so in order to move ahead with step one, to actually do this inventory in a meaningful way, you have to be in Christ. You have to be a child of God. You have to ask Him, like the prayer below the picture of the dove on your page says, ask Him to bring to your mind the things that need to be there. And God generally tends to reveal things to us as we are able to process them. Because I went through a freedom appointment like Brittany, and then I have been an apprentice at three others since then. And every time I go through the material, God tends to bring something to mind for me that I didn't have on the first time I went through it. And so as we're ready, God brings things to us. And so I encourage you today in the prayer room, sometime this week, that you'd start with this prayer right below the picture of the dove that says, Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to bring to my mind anything and everything that I have done knowingly or unknowingly that involves occult, cult, or non-Christian teaching and practices. I want to experience your freedom by rejecting all counterfeit teachings and practices and all false guidance. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You see how similar that sounds to believers from 400 or 500 years ago at the beginning of the catechism? You know, I don't want to endanger my salvation, so I will avoid and shun all idolatry, magic, superstitious rites. God's people have been taking His word and seeking to have no other gods before Him in every generation. And so this is our generation and our time to look to Him and say, God, I don't want any other gods in my life, any other voices in my head. And so if our first step today was do the hard thing, the next step is clean out the closet. You know, this is a spiritual house cleaning of our hearts and souls. I bought our minivan a number of years ago, and when we bought it, it had two captain's chairs or bucket seats in the front, you know, just separated chairs. And in between was this cool little thing that was a net. And I had never seen one of those before. And it was a net, and you hooked it into the van. You know, now you see that kind of stuff all the time. But then we're like, hey, this is pretty cool. You know, it's kind of unobtrusive. It doesn't take up space. It's flexible. You can put stuff in there. And over time, we found that this cool little net that sits between the two front seats is a collector of stuff. It's a collector of junk, you know. It's a collector of your empty coffee cup, of your unnecessary receipt. It's a collector of a pen and a pad of paper and a pencil. It's a collector of directions to wherever you're going. It holds the ice scraper. It holds all kinds of things. It has candy wrappers or granola bar wrappers in it. It just has stuff. And so every once in a while, you got to unhook it. You bring it in the house, and you're like, let's get rid of all this junk, right? And half of it goes in the trash, and two or three things go back into it. You put it back in the van, and you're like, hey, this thing's pretty cool. You know, when it's cleaned out, it's pretty cool. But over time, it becomes a collector of junk again, and we repeat, you know, rents repeat. Well, in a sense, step one is saying, God, there's might be some junk here that I have to get rid of, some garbage, some unnecessary things. And all they are doing is getting in the way. They're getting in the way. And so step one says, Holy Spirit, open my eyes, open my heart to help me see the things that are getting in the way. And the kinds of things in step one that we think about are experiences in your life where you may have compromised your loyalty to God, either knowingly or unknowingly, willingly or unwillingly. Sometimes things are forced upon people, and you're in a place, and you're in an experience, or you're in a situation, or someone sends you something from your family, and you end up in a place where you can't worship God wholeheartedly. I think if you would have talked to a second or third generation Danite living in the beautiful country of Israel where they are raising grapefruit and avocados and mangoes, you said, now how did you get to this place where you guys are worshiping this silver-coated idol? They say, I don't know. Let's think about that. And they'd have to go back in time and say, you know what? My dad used to worship the silver-coated idol, and so did I. You know, or my grandpa, he was the one who hired Micah to be, and there'd be that inventory that you do. Well, I want to encourage you to take an inventory right now in a short amount of time. Hopefully, you'll get more time to it later. And look inside that handout in your bulletin and say, do any of these things apply to me? Have I ever exposed myself to any of these things? And this is kind of the abbreviated list that is 6 times longer than this. But, you know, I can't give you all that in one place. But if you want to go farther, deeper, that chance is available to you. Ancestor worship. It depends on what your family system looks like and other religions that might be part of it. Astrology. Oh, it seems so harmless in the paper. Where's that coming from? Is that coming from God? Games like Bloody Mary, you know, or levitation games, the kinds of things that the kids seem to play unwittingly. A crystal ball. Every kind of horror-based music, book, video, or film. Is that from God? Absolutely not. Any other religion, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, or you could list a whole list of all other counterfeits. A Ouija board, Satanism. Being in your room and sensing an evil presence there. Oftentimes people say, well, it's at night and I'm in my bed and there feels like there's an evil presence in my room. Certainly not from God. What do you do with that? A spirit guide or a voice in your head that tells you lies about who you are or tells you to do things you know you shouldn't do. Or something as obvious as witchcraft or Wicca. All these kinds of things. Things that seem somewhat harmless to one person to as obvious as, you know, taking a silver-coated idol and making it part of your worship. God says, none of these things are to be with my people. You are to have no other gods before me. It's the first commandment for a reason. Because if you don't have this one right, you'll never be able to keep the rest of them. No other gods before me. And so if you go through this list, if you come this week, if you want to dig deeper, please contact me or Brittany or anybody who's part of the Freedom Ministry planning. And you'd come to the place where you'd pray the prayer that's below. Lord Jesus, I freely confess that I have knowingly or unknowingly participated in or experienced, and you just name those things. And I reject them as counterfeits. And that's the key. That's what set Brittany free from night terrors and terrible dreams. I reject this as counterfeit. It's a lie from the devil. And all we have to do is let God's light shine on it. The devil is not powerful, but he's still deceptive. He was deceptive in the garden. He remains deceptive today. And if you believe his lie, you end up with bad consequences. If you believe the truth, you end up with freedom. God wants you to be free. And so I reject them as counterfeits. I resolve with reliance on the Holy Spirit to turn away from them. Thank you for your forgiveness and cleansing. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Can it be that simple? Yes. That's the beauty of God's power. He is light, and light causes darkness to be gone. John writes that Jesus came. He came as the light, but people still chose to love the darkness. God doesn't want his people in darkness. He doesn't want you in darkness. So these are the kinds of things that maybe you've been exposed to willingly or unwillingly or knowingly or unknowingly. It's time to let them go, reject them in the name of Jesus and find the new freedom that God has for you. He says, no other gods before me, not even a single one. And when that happens, you'll find yourself enjoying the truths there about children who are in the kingdom of light. You'll say with confidence, my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I'm part of the bride of Christ. I'm under the new covenant of grace in Christ Jesus. God's my heavenly Father. I belong to Jesus, and I accept the leading of his Holy Spirit. You'll say that with a new confidence that you never had before, because it's not being mingled or compromised with the evil one trying to feed deceptions and lies into your mind and heart and soul and spirit. So God wants you to be at that place where you say, I'm free. I'm a child of God and I belong to him. And with the Holy Spirit, he is my guide, my teacher, and my friend. The truths on the back of your handout are four more of the 33 that we'll share with you over these 7 weeks. I encourage you to spend some time with them. Look over them, read them, pray about them. Answer the question at the top of the page about each one. Talk about them with your kids around the table. Find out what it means to be in Christ and a child of God. Will you please join me in prayer? Father in heaven, it's our goal that there'll be no more idols, No more idols of any kind. No more compromising here or giving in there. No more taking the easy road when you're calling us to the hard one. No more letting the clutter of Satan's deceptions build up in our lives, but as everyone comes, we get rid of it immediately. God, we want to be free. Free to love you with all our heart, our soul, our strength, and mind. We want to be free to love our neighbors as ourselves. Free to worship you and you alone. Free to let the world know that there is no other God but you. Lord Jesus, there is no other Savior but you. Holy Spirit, there is no other spirit in this world but you. You're the Spirit of truth. And so we ask you today, oh God, to set us free. Help us to claim the power that we have through your Son. Help us to do an inventory that helps us to clean out any of that clutter. And Lord, help us to discover the joy of the victory of real, that is you, overcoming counterfeit, that is the evil one. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.